The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. Your chance to have your say because we're open line all this week. And before you call, I don't know whether they found Elvis or Dusty, but we'll watch and wait, shall we? Jason Morehouse, former teacher, represents Arbury Castle, Town and Maloo, says the education department should team up with teachers, parents, pupils and experts to come up with some strategies. He reckons more needs to be done about school attendance and behaviour in classrooms. Any thoughts on that? If you have somebody at school, or indeed if you're in the industry of education, I just wonder what your thoughts are. It is before this report, this Etio report, the much vaunted Etio report that's going to come out. Well, he's a former teacher, so presumably he should know. And anything else you want to talk about, really? There's lots in the news. But first of all, to the lines, and Howard's with us. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. Just something I saw this morning on the BBC News. Having a few problems in the UK with A&E, where people are going in for treatment, and people going in with them, friends or otherwise, and while they're in there, they're filming on their mobile phones the actions and treatment that's been administered, and then they think it's humorous, it's funny, and they're putting it on the various social media sites such as TikTok and Facebook and things like that. So what do we have a similar problem here on the island, or has Manx Care got a policy whereby they will not allow it? The reason why I say that, because the nurses, the nursing staff, are becoming worried, because a lot of them carry on the lapels the name and their position in the hospital, etc., whether doctors, nurses or otherwise, and they are then being filmed, because one particular person asked one of the nurses would she take a photograph. And then when she scrolled through it by accident, she found out that she'd actually been filming, and the nurse as well. So it's a worrying situation where the nursing staff now are of a nervous situation where the actual work, we'll term it as work, because the treatment is being filmed, and it could cause problems later on if something untoward happens. But is there a procedure within the Manx Care, within the hospitals and medical stations throughout the island, where mobile phones are not allowed to be used in a similar situation?
How long has this been going on, did the article say?
It didn't actually give a specific time, but it said a reasonable amount of time, and it's happening in various hospitals throughout the UK. And it must be worrying for staff, because it would be like somebody walking into your studio with a mobile camera and filming you on, I know you can see it on the webcam, but that's with your permission. And these people, have they had permission from the nursing staff, from the hospitals or otherwise, to film the procedure?
And more to the point, Howard, why would you do it?
Well, it's a farcical way people are living these days. Everything's got to be put on Facebook, TikTok, or anything like that, YouTube. And they thought it's a funny way of doing things, and just a humorous way of doing it. But it's not. If you're in A&E, but it must be with the permission of these people who's having the treatment, but not necessarily with the people who's giving the treatment. even if you see the TV program, 24 hours in A&E yeah. and this, that and the other, at the end of it, it says all procedures were filmed and shown with permission of the patients. But I doubt very much whether a similar situation would exist on the various social media.
Well, I'm guessing not.
Yeah. And the nurse or doctor or whatever it is that's in that room treating the patient is then subject, possibly, to, well, humiliation, any legal, lawful thing that could be brought up against them. That there should, I don't know, it's a good question possibly for when next week when you have Teresa Culpa.
Yeah, okay, that's something we'll bring up.
What procedures, if any, are in position throughout the medical treatment areas within the Manx Care situation system?
Yeah, that's a very good point. And as you say, it just seems the way that some people, and I stress some people, seem to live their life is... Everything, as you say, everything has to be filmed. Everything yes. has to be. They're too busy filming stuff to actually enjoy life, it seems.
Well, in lots of cases, and you see this numerous times, that there's been accidents, there's been all sorts happening throughout the whole of the world, in a sense, and it's all on phones. And these people, instead of helping somebody that's had an accident, or they stand there and film it. The poor person's lying on the ground, writhing in agony, and it's good television for them. And this is the mental attitude of people today with their mobile phones, unfortunately.
Interesting. Okay.
As I say, I might come in next week on the same subject while you've got Teresa Culpa.
Yeah, by all means, do it. It will be interesting to hear her response.
Yeah, because I think they should. I know there's an awful lot of notices all around the hospital, but there should be something that says no mobile phones, filming, etc., to be used in treatment rooms.
Okay. And the bus shelter's still gone, isn't it, by the hospital?
I don't know. I haven't been up there, but I can only assume it has.
No. I wandered up there the other day, and it's still gone.
Okay. Well, that's one place less for the mongoose to hide.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Thanks, Howard. Good to hear from
Thanks
you.
Thanks, then. Take care.
14 Bye minutes now. Past 12. H, talking about the tax system. He said the tax system needs updating. It's based on 1980s wages. The tax-free allowance doesn't reflect the fact that the minimum wage is now $12.25 per hour. So a low income is now $25,480 per annum for those on a 40-hour week. 40 times £12.25 times 52. The tax-free allowance is only $14,750. To the low-paid, I haven't got much leeway there. My sole income as a solo pensioner is approximately $27,000 per annum, with no investments, no earning interest, small amount of savings and no mortgage to offset tax. I've somehow been assessed in the higher tax band. A couple earning $100,000 per year is not wealthy by today's standards. They could be two tradespeople, but they will have lost child benefits, and as middle band earners, they'll end up being hammered for everything. I think the system's broken, needs tidying up to reflect today's earnings. Do you have any thoughts on this? Then, just as also in light of this new health levy that's coming in, which Texter 762 is just, this is Texter 762's words, just another money grab to pay for past mistakes by the administration. Marie said the best way to save money in our health service is to get rid of Manxcare and get back to the old system of the DHSC. Well, it's a strategy, Marie, but they were supposed to save money when they created Manxcare. It doesn't seem to have happened, but we don't, of course, in the middle of this came COVID, so all sorts of things have changed regarding that. Anyway, it's something I'll put to Teresa. I'm sure she'll say that Manxcare should stay, her being the chief executive, but it's certainly a question that I'll mention. Tony said Michelle Hayward's announced two public meetings to talk about the 20-mile-per-hour limits plan, one meeting at 1 o'clock, the other at 3:30, which is pointless everybody's at work or on the school run. Looks like Michelle Haywood doesn't want anybody to attend. It's a joke. She really needs to resign, says Tony. Well, that's Tony's thoughts on the matter. These two public meetings at 1 o'clock and 3:30. And still more questions about the raft, by the way. The raft, is it coming back to Douglas Bay for the summer? Is the raft in Port Erin? And is the raft in Ramsey as well? Robert's with us now. Hi, Robert.
Hi, just on the broken mandarin segments in juice today. So we're just taking it easy on the payments for too much food and things like that. You know, we're keeping it cheap.
Okay.
I was up at the clinic. I had a bone issue with one of my hips. And the lady got me straight in within 2 hours and I saw a specialist. One thing that I did put in the feedback form in the red box that was there is the Wi-Fi is not advertised. I know the guy before was on about having, was it pictures on phones or something along those lines?
Yeah.
But I think in terms of like actually diffusing the situation to get in your own happy place, you need Spotify or you need iTunes or you need YouTube Play or something along those lines. Headphones aren't too expensive. Apple ones are a bit more. But I think that they need to advertise on notice boards the fact that they've actually got Wi-Fi in Manx Care. I know everyone's going to log on to it as soon as they get in, but there's no posters up when I was there, so it's just a bit of feedback.
Right. It's free, Manx. You just log on as Manx Care guest, don't you, or patient or something?
Yeah, it's guest.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was... you know, if you were there and you're wondering what to do and you look around bothering other people, which could happen, especially if someone's in pain and they don't want to be bothered, you wouldn't know. So, you know, it's just an easy connection, really. I'm just right. Connecting the dots.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, Robert.
Right, thanks.
Good to hear from you. Sorry, no, Andrew's right. Andrew's next. You should be able to film your own treatment and care, says John in Onken. Dear me. Would you want to? I suppose it depends what you're having. To be honest, with the amount of malpractice that's been caused over the years, I'm sure people have the right to film what procedures are happening to their body. Granted, names and addresses of healthcare professionals should be protected. However, if they're doing everything correctly, they'll have nothing to fear, says Marty. Crikey, that's a bit... Yes, you should have the opportunity to film. Brenda dropped me that note as well. Thank you for that. Well, Andrew is now here with us. Hi, Andrew.
Hi there. Apologies that I've got a croaky throat here. I just wanted to agree with previous caller Tony about Michelle Haywood scheduling these public meetings for consultation during office working hours. It's an avoidance of accountability. She's paid 24/7 to represent people. She should be available on a Saturday, for example, or at some time outside of normal office hours when more people can attend. She's avoiding having awkward questions and accountability by the public, and it's a step towards authoritarianism.
Okay. And what's your view of this 20-mile-per-hour proposal?
Inside streets and around schools, fine. Everywhere else, no. I mean, look, I'm coming up Summer Hill at the moment, and there's one car in front of me, and we're both doing P7. That's it. There's no cars coming down some hill. They're all the way up to Corkill's garage, or whatever the petrol station is called these days. There's no cars there. There's just the two of the car in front. Following that, I'm about six cars behind, and we're doing 26, 27 miles an hour.
And what do you think what do you think the thought is behind this, though, Andrew?
Pushing her own agenda to show, look, this is what I can do, and give me another job and I can do something. Basically, she needs to retrench, and I have asked on social media where the £400,000 for this rollout appeared in which budget of the DOI, which year, and who approved that budget. Because I question the timelines on what have been said about this, because you can't suddenly find £400,000 to implement a scheme. So it must have been in a budget prior year. So who had knowledge of it and put it forward in a prior year? And why has nobody else said, oh, hang on, what are you spending £400,000 on here?
Yeah. Do you think this is going to happen, Andrew?
Let's see. As I mentioned, authoritarianism. Let's see whether democracy and public opinion outweighs that.
Okay. All right. Appreciate it. Thanks for driving carefully as well.
Yeah. Cheers, Andy.
All right. 22 minutes past 12. Following Howard's comments regarding patients videoing treatments in ED, I work in the Children's Hospital ED in Columbus, Ohio. This is Colin Watterson. And Colin said, I've been filmed, unknown to me, placing an IV. This was also a major problem when working in a 911 pre-hospital setting. I just wonder, Colin, what was the outcome of that? Did somebody get reprimanded for that if that happened? And is that allowed in America? Are people allowed to use mobile phones in clinical settings? And presumably in a waiting room, because if you video somebody in a waiting room, you've surely got to get the permission to do that. It's common courtesy anyway, but thank you. That's interesting. Tony Brown, who was on a few weeks ago, now Chair of Castle Town Commissioners, former Chief Minister, he's described the current level of bureaucracy in the government as a nightmare. His words, a nightmare. He was appearing alongside former Chief Minister Howard Quayle before the Constitutional, Legal Affairs and Justice Committee on the subject of ministerial government and its effectiveness.
The bureaucracy that's been introduced tonight is just out of this. It's just out of control. I'll just give you a good example. A woman came up to me the other week and said to me, I'm applying for a bus pass. Now, don't forget, a bus pass is only in the Isle of Man. She's over 65. They know she's over 65 because she's getting a pension. She's got the form. They want a passport photograph, or they want a driving licence, or X, Y, and Z. She says, I don't have a passport. I don't have a driving licence. I don't have this. What do I do? I said, go to the office and tell them you don't have any of that. Take a photograph of you and say, this is me. It's nonsense. It's a bus pass. And yet it's so bureaucratic. And that's just one little issue. It's magnified right across government and, to me, is damaging government. It's slowing it down so much that everybody's scared of their own shadow. Things are not being done in a timely manner because the bureaucracy is controlling everybody to the nth degree. Don't get me wrong, you need bureaucracy to some degree, but not, I don't believe, to the degree we have. And over-regulation. Over-regulation is driving everybody mad. And we just seem to be more in, let's get regulations in, let's get bureaucracy in. How about let's earn some money to make the Isle of Man successful? And I do think we've swung too far. It's too much about what we can't do as against what we can do.
Former Chief Minister Tony Brown, I just wonder what your thoughts on that regarding bureaucracy. Obviously, some level is needed. Forms will need to be filled. Records will need to be kept. But I just wonder, and particularly if you've had brushes with bureaucracy, when did this come in? Was it post-COVID? How has this happened? Oh, just a quick word. If you are applying to be a candidate in the forthcoming elections, tomorrow is the big day, Wednesday the 18th of June. Five local authorities are looking to fill vacant seats left following April's elections. So there's Port Erin Commissioners, also Ramsey South Ward, Douglas Central Ward, Jerby and Balaff. If you put your name forward or if you've got the papers, they need to be handed in by the 18th of June. So make sure you do that. And we look forward to those elections. You're on text, email, call and WhatsApp on Man in Line.
Hi, Liz. I see you've had your garage converted. We're desperate for more room.
Yes. Come through and have a look. John called Manx Property Conversions. We now have an extra bedroom, but it could be another reception room, kids' playroom or office. They also did our conservatory roof last year. We were so impressed, we got them back to convert the garage.
Wow, I need that. What's their number again?
Call MPC on 450 500. That's 450 500. Or find them on Facebook at Manx Property Conversions.
Spring, a time for new beginnings and nature. This season, why not have a fresh start by switching your savings to Guernsey's Bank Skipton International and watch them grow? Skipton International offers a range of savings accounts, from fixed term to notice and easy access, enabling your savings to bloom for longer. So make this spring one to remember by switching to Skipton International today.
For details of all Skipton International savings products, call 01481 730 730 or visit skiptoninternational.com. Skipton International is licensed to take deposits by the GFSC and is a participant in the Guernsey Banking Deposit Compensation Scheme. See dcs.gg.
What you got there, love?
Oh, 15 garden gnomes.
But we already have so many.
Yes, love. But this one is sitting on a toadstool and fishing. And this one is a limited edition. And this one is wearing lederhosen. And this one looks so cute. Just look at the nose on him. He's fabulous.
Bundle your mobile and broadband with Shaw and you could save £318. What would you spend it on? Visit shaw.com/bundle or see us in store. T's and C's apply.
Enjoy uncompromised relaxation at great prices in Millichap's Stressless Studio clearance event. Come and see the clearance prices for yourself and find out which of Stressless's range of recliner chairs is right for you. The Stressless Studio clearance event, now on downstairs at Millichap's of Ramsey.
Tonight at 5:30 here on Manx Radio, join Kiri Kermode and myself, Simon Clark, for the new series of Countryside.
We hear from all down at the Southern Vintage Engine and Tractor Club annual rally.
And I went along to speak to Pam Goldie from Manx Canine Cuisine to find out more about their range of raw meat food and also their vegetarian options as well, plus the treats that can be beneficial to your pets.
That's all in Countryside tonight here on Manx Radio at 5:30. And don't forget, you can download and subscribe to the podcast for free at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Wilf's with us now. Hi, Wilf.
Hi, Andy. Just a bit of useless information for everybody. Remember we were talking, was it last week, about that old dead lifeboat in my yard?
Oh, yeah.
Right, well, I had a look at it, and on the stem, cut into the stem, is 72 passengers is to carry.
72?
And then whatever can hang on the ropes at the side. Yes, it should carry 72, and it's got a huge bronze propeller on it, far bigger than any engine would drive it, because it was driven by hand pumps. I still got that, all that gear is still there. People could, if they couldn't row, and there's no engine in it, they pumped these handles back and forward, and that drove this big prop round. And that got you away from the sinking boat.
Crikey.
And then presumably then a motorboat would come and connect up and drag it all in, half a dozen of the boats, maybe. I don't know. I don't know how many it was carrying.
Wow.
But it's still there, and it's double diagonal teak it's made up. They're like the thin strips crisscrossed. Very, very strong.
And when did you get hold of it, Wilf?
Oh, years and years ago. It's been lying in the yard for 20 years. And getting less and less. It's still watertight because it's full of water, rainwater now. If I pull the plug on it, it'll go out through my yard and wash people off their feet. So I don't do that.
Hey, Wilf, is the raft out at Ramsey for the beach?
Yes.
It is.
Yeah, it's been out for quite a while.
Oh, has it? Right. Okay, that's good.
Quite a while.
That's good.
There is what I would call a silly sign on the wall attaining to the raft, which is don't jump off, don't dive off, don't do this, don't do that, don't eat your sandwiches on it, all this sort of thing. And the kids, they won't even look at that. They just get out and play on it. What they like.
That's good.
Anyway, it's a big, like, kind of plasticky rubber thing, so they can't do any harm.
Good. All right, Wilf. All right, good to hear from you. Thanks, Wilf.
Okay, all right.
Take care now. We're looking for the... well, the raft in Douglas hasn't made an appearance yet. Somebody said the government are going to be looking at TT again. Yes, they are. There's going to be a full debrief of this year's event. It's currently underway. Tim Johnston was talking about this. Several YouTube clips and live streams of TT footage have been taken down. Fans have been asked to remove footage of the races. Chris Thomas is in in Tibble today, in Keys today, asking about the legal basis for actions and raising concern that it could negatively impact the visitor experience. So there'll be more to come. Just going back to Howard talking about people videoing stuff, everybody is videoing everything nowadays. If you ever go to a music concert, it seems that every other person just stands there with the phone high videoing the darn thing instead of just enjoying the music. Times change, don't they? Well, it was said years ago, everyone is going to be famous for 15 minutes at some point. An 80-year-old was asked by the Isle of Man government for ID. They only had a bus pass which has a picture, but they were made to provide birth certificate. Go figure, says G on 313. Tony Brand's correct, says John. Companies trying to establish the business on the Isle of Man can't even open bank accounts. Overregulation is crippling business. We've had this mentioned quite a few times about companies and individuals finding it difficult to open a bank account. This is obviously because the banks are bringing in their horns almost. I mean, a lot of the banks are now not really looking for private business, and certainly not private business with any element of risk. And when you think now that most organisations are very risk averse, certainly within the banking industry, because they don't want their fingers burned and they don't want to get slapped down by the authorities for taking in dodgy money. So they're very, very wary of it. However, it seems that this is having a negative effect on genuine people, legitimate people, reputable people trying to open bank accounts. And if that's something that you've come across, it'll be nice to hear your story if you can tell us that. Don't know about everyone, but my bus pass has a photo on it, and it's the same as my driving license. Hence, a request for ID is not hard. Thank you, Desmond, for your point of view. But there was bureaucracy in Tony Brown's time, says 366. How many staff were employed by government in Tony's time? I'm sure they weren't all there to sharpen pencils. They were when times got tough, they needed to justify their jobs, so came up with all these forms you need for everything with their name at the bottom. Well, it is said that bureaucracy never goes the other way, doesn't it? Bureaucracy only ever increases. And there will be all sorts of reasons why bureaucracy is needed. However, you have to look at the two situations, the two regimes, as it were, the public regime and the private regime, whereas in private, costs are contained, costs can be cut. In a public system, well, what do you do? And that brings us back to Manx Care. No politician is ever going to stand up and say people should have worse treatment. Everybody wants the best treatment. Everybody wants the best treatment, the best medications. So that costs money. And it would be an incautious politician who would contradict that, wouldn't you say? So where does that leave us? Manx Care is in public hands. It is public money. So where do you think that's going to end? Well, at the moment, it's going to end in a levy, of course. Patrick's with us now. Hello, Patrick.
Hello, David. David, has everybody been watching the series Gold on television?
Yes, this is about the Brinksmat thing, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's the Isle of Man. It's the best money laundering place in the world, according to the series. I don't know if it's a repeat of the series, but and also it's scruffy, the airport's scruffy. I'm amazed they've got away with saying what they have.
Well, it's a historical story, isn't it? It's history, and if you read all the Brinksmat books, the Isle of Man has got a connection to the Brinksmat robbery.
Yeah. But to make it sound as bad as it is, I'm surprised the government didn't, put a complaint in or do something about it.
Well, I mean, they could genuinely point out that that was then and this is now. And the fact is, times have changed. And whenever we get a report done on us, we normally come out better than average, sometimes a lot better than average. So it's an opportunity, I think, to make a point. But I don't think the production team would have taken much notice of us if we'd said that.
But, anyway, when the original series on, David, I didn't hear any mention at the end of the programme or in the write-up on the programme. It doesn't mention what it's fictitious. It's all based on Saturday, I think. So was the Isle of Man the place to money launder?
Well, no, but there was a connection. There were some characters who were involved on the outskirts of it, I think, who had connections to the Isle of Man. But, I mean, that was then. I mean, people ask, is there money laundering in the Isle of Man? I'm sure there is. But then again, there's money laundering on every high street in England, Scotland, Wales and Ireland. So I don't think we're any different to anywhere else.
Yeah. So, as you say, the government, really speaking, if anything happened like this again, where the Isle of Man gets mentioned, they should put a legal team on it. I know they don't want to spend a fortune again. They don't want to spend a fortune on lawyers and all that. But if the Isle of Man's portrayed in a bad light, even sometimes your programme portrayed in a bad light, the government should say, this is wrong or that's wrong. They should do something about it, not just ignore it.
Well, the thing is, they've got a huge team of communications people, so maybe it's an opportunity for them to put a kind of counter story out, as it were.
Yes, definitely. I'll portray the Isle of Man as it should be.
Okay, all right. Appreciate it. Okay. Thanks, Patrick.
Thanks,
it's an interesting programme. I don't know whether you've seen it. Hugh Bonneville's in it, lots of other people. The story of the Brinksmack Gold. There have been a couple of films about it as well. What do you think to do? Text, email, call, WhatsApp. You're on the air on Man in Line. And no need for ID, just change your name. You can get anything anywhere, says Victoria. I tried to open an account for my wife. You need a letter from God, says Bart. It's a figure of speech, I think. Thank you, Paul. The bank told me it was restrictions from government they have to follow. And why is it hard to open a bank account? Well, we've had many letters and emails from people who have had, and certainly people who got companies who've been waiting weeks, months to open a bank account. And I know a lot of the CSPs, the corporate service providers, tear their hair out over this, over government regulations and having bank accounts. Trouble is now, we're in a global world. Money can be moved around very, very quickly. And obviously, they are risk averse. We'll come back to that. The people in charge of financial services want the Isle of Man's reputation to be as clean as possible, so they will be risk averse. Anything to do with certainly Russia, a lot of African money, some South American, if companies do business in any of those areas, then it raises red flags. And PEPs, as they call them, politically exposed persons, often raise red flags. But often, ordinary people get caught up in this. Maybe this is where Tony Brown needs, maybe they do need some bureaucracy in this to sort it out. But it doesn't do us any favours if people can't, genuine ordinary people, can't open bank accounts. It'd be great to have Tony back as Chief Minister, says 437. I've worked in government for over 30 years. I have never seen so much red tape and bureaucracy. It's time we cut through it and got the job done. The money laundering situation in the Isle of Man is no different to anywhere else, UK, Europe, even worldwide. However, the difference is, I think our politicians have sold us out, the Manx residents, without access to UK bank accounts, UK credit cards and most other banking facilities. That's 109 who dropped that note in regarding bank accounts. If you've had a problem and if you've overcome it, it will be nice to know how long it took and what did it take to take it over. Hospice raises about 80% of its own funding for palliative care. So assisted dying, I think, shouldn't be taxpayer funded, especially through a new health levy. Well, we're not that far down it, are we yet? And we don't know when assisted dying comes in, if presumably it will come in, who's going to administer it? Maybe this is a question for Theresa Cope next week. Is it going to be Manx Care? Will it be a private provider? Will it be a state licensed provider? We don't know. Theresa Cope is on next Wednesday on Man in Line. The boss of Manx Care will be on. Next Monday, David Ashford and Peter Washington from Douglas City Council will be on. Peter Washington is Chair of Housing at Douglas City Council. David Ashford, MHK, Chair of Housing Communities. And we go back to everybody says housing is a big priority. And the price of private rentals going up and up and up. The availability of housing to be purchased for affordable rates. And what is an affordable rate? So we'll get to the bottom of that, hopefully, with David Ashford and Peter Washington on Monday. And as I mentioned, a week tomorrow, the 25th, the Manx Care Chief Executive Theresa Cope will be on Man in Line to talk about that. A note in from Norman, who just said, what's going on with the Peel and Garth sewage treatment works? I heard something about it on Manx Radio. Well, Garth, the planning documentation is nearly finished but won't be totally formally submitted until next month. Garth say a scoping exercise highlighted some additional studies required, which are now finalised for inclusion within the planning application. Ahead of the submission, Manx Utilities will be contacting residents and landowners who will be directly impacted by the proposed works for this Peel and Garth sewage treatment works with any further details. It will extend an offer to meet in person to talk through the plans and ask any questions they may have. I think Norman's involved or near the Garth one. It means that formal submission of the planning application is not going to be made until July. The authority says it'll rightly ensure local engagement's been completed and give the best chance of a successful and expedient outcome. In the west of the Isle of Man, progress has been good since works commenced last month. The majority of the Peel sites had the topsoil removed and the works are ongoing to form the access road. The overhead lines across the site are going to be diverted. Manx Utilities say while the planned contract completion date of the whole works is spring 2028 in Peel, it's tasked the contractor to bring elements of the work in line as soon as possible. As such, it's aiming to have the primary treatment, that's a screening, online later next summer, 26, with partial biological treatment ahead of the summer of 2027, and then the process works completed by early 2028. Thank you, Norman. I hope that was of some help. Jason Morehouse has been talking about school attendance and behaviour in classrooms on the Isle of Man. Former teacher, of course, one of the Arbury, Castletown and Maloo MHKs, who wants the Education Department to team up with teachers, parents, pupils and education experts to come up with strategies. If his motion gets the go-ahead, a report's going to be brought to Timwell by December with changes set to roll out summer 2026. Jason Morehouse.
There's a disconnect between what's actually happening and the community. I was one of the first to raise a concern about the short reports to be published and the way in which they're not really giving any information. And even when we got the reports being published earlier this year, it was just dumped.
Are you comfortable basing a national education strategy on recommendations that you and other Timwald members and the public can't actually see in full?
I think to a certain extent we've got the reasons why the inspections are taking place. We've got a insight into what they're finding within the schools and we've got a report, and I think we need to focus on that information we've got and try and make more of it. I think one of our problems is we can spend too much time navel-gazing and questioning the system and questioning the ministers and questioning things in general. But what I'm trying to do here is to do something positive and take out two of the core aspects, not that I've just chosen randomly, but what have come out of conversations with teachers and head teachers, and to say, let's do something positive and move these things forward.
You were a teacher before you became an MHK. Yeah. The Education Minister says releasing the report reports would damage staff morale. Is that true?
It's a difficult one because I was the first one to actually ask for the full report. And when I asked for the full report, it was so there was that openness and clarity. Since then, I've actually spoken to a lot of teachers and head teachers, and there's that concern. So to actually have the full report and the full openness in an ideal world would be good. But in the world we live in, it could actually produce several unexpected consequences that could have really negative impacts on a small number of individuals.
Jason Morehouse, former teacher, now MHK, and his concerns regarding school attendance and behaviour in the classrooms. I was in London recently attending my sister's funeral. The 20 mile per hour is everywhere. I was driving along with the speed limit and an electric scooter overtook me. The reason that they want 20 miles per hour everywhere is so everybody can ride their scooters safely. 20 miles per hour. So have you got any thoughts on this? And just if you do drive, just as an experiment, drive at 20 miles per hour. Ronnie dropped a note in just to say, the danger is with the 20 mile per hour limit, people are going to be looking at their speedometers all the time. Unless you've got, you know, one of those speed controls, cruise control things that you set at 20 miles per hour. If you don't have them, you're going to be constantly looking at the speedo, and surely that's taking your attention off the road. And a message in from 101, Andy, that lady needing a bus pass should take a passport-sized photo to government officers and just get it signed on the back by a government employee. Tony would make a good minister. He talks a lot of sense, says 301. Scroll back 20-odd years. Right, we're on text, email, call and WhatsApp, and more messages to come between now and 1 o'clock. Have you got any thoughts on the government's Listening to You roadshows? They're on the week after next, Monday 30th of June at Ramsey Grammar School, Tuesday 1st of July, they're on at the Ballycommeen High School in Douglas, Wednesday 2nd, Castle Rushen High School in Castletown, and Thursday 2nd, QE2 High School in Peel. Do you remember they had them last year, the Listening to You roadshows, taxation, travel, mental health, immigration, everything, wind farms, the whole lot, you can talk to them, just some of the topics brought up. So the end of June, beginning of July, and if you want more information, we've figured out the link. We've restored the link. Go to manxradio.com and look on the news story regarding the Listening to You roadshows, and there's a link through to, because you need a ticket. You need to book. You can't just pitch up. I know, more bureaucracy.
Now's the time to make the most of the outdoors. So head to Riley's Garden Centre. Whether you're planting, pruning, or just relaxing in the sun, Riley's has everything you need, from garden machinery to tools and compost to outdoor furniture, barbecues and more. Transform your garden into your paradise with a little help from Riley's. Open 7 days a week on Cool Road, Braddon, or browse online at rileys.co.im. Riley's Garden Centre, everything for the great outdoors.
Enjoy a stress-free, collaborative and successful building project with construction experts Matthew James Limited. First, we take the time to discuss your requirements and assess your site. Then, we'll design and produce plans to bring your vision to life. We'll oversee planning, and when ready, our team will construct to the highest standards. In short, Matthew James are there for you every step of the way, until completion and even beyond. Dream, develop, deliver. MatthewJames.im.
What do you mean someone has announced a murder here this evening in the newspaper?
A murder, Letty?
What a load of tosh.
The Service Players present the fantastic Agatha Christie whodunit, A Murder Is Announced, at the Gaiety Theatre on the 26th to the 28th of June.
Where were you at the time?
I was right
there. There.
It wasn't me. I wonder if I might contribute an observation or two.
Miss Marple.
A Murder Is Announced. Go to villagaiety.com for tickets. Supported by Manx Radio.
The Journey to a Dream podcast is where racing meets real life, from onboards to odd jobs and friendships forged at full throttle. This is all about motorcycle life beyond the helmet.
You can watch as many onboards, you can think you know where you're going, but everything changes at speed.
I'm a forklift mechanic. I've never had to say that in English.
What is it in Dutch?
Ben een heftruckmonteur.
Every time you go to a race meeting, before you know it, you can soon strike up great friendships and conversations because the motorcycling sort of community is so connected.
The Journey to a Dream podcast, brought to you by Kawasaki Insurance, is available now on the Manx Radio Motorsport website or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Faster Mind, 9 minutes before one. Talking about ID, says Ant 032. Reminds me of my old pal, sadly now passed. He had a quiff, missing teeth, tattoos, earrings, very distinguishable, lovely bloke. Went to his bank in Castletown, well, that dates it, doesn't it, to withdraw some of his money, and had his passport with him. He was told his passport had expired, and he said to them, "Look at the picture. It's still me." Had to get a manager to authorise it. It was a small transaction. But at least they did. That's a good thing. That's some common sense, isn't it? Richard dropped a note in. Could you get somebody from the TT organisation to come to the studio and explain the thinking about changing away from the well-tried and tested format? The new schedule, I think, appears to have failed, so maybe a return to the Monday, Wednesday, Friday races with Saturday contingency is the answer. Also, it allows the visitors a better chance to tour the Isle of Man on non-racing days and is more acceptable to the locals, especially the increasing band of opposition to the inconvenience of the TT and the event clashes. Any thoughts on that? If you're a TT fan, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday contingency. What do you think? Sammy's with us now. Hello, Sammy.
Hello, Andy. How are you?
Very well. What's on your mind?
Three things, please. One's your sister dying, Bill. Two's about speed limits. Yep. And three is the fact that not everyone is tech-enabled or tech-savvy.
Okay.
Well, firstly, your sister dying, Bill, whatever you want to call it. I heard a lady on Radio 4 discussing, she's from the House of Lords, so she's a proper lady, don't she? And she's a professor of palliative care, I think, and she said that if anyone is in great pain, they can be, there's no method of not alleviating their pain through proper methods. And also, you have to work on satiating their soul, their psychiatric issues, because if they're wanting to die, surely there has to be something that's badly wrong with their attitude to life. So, quick journey to the psychiatry and psychiatric people who can help get them out of this doom loop, give them the, you know, dreaded, lusting and yearning for life again. And then, also, I saw someone on a link years back on Facebook, my first Facebook account, via Mr. Peters, now MHK, Mr. Peters, of a Dutch Grizzled War veteran whose family had gotten in Holland to kill himself online, and so they did a video of it. It's gruesome, heck. He sat up, bolt upright when it was administered. So he must have been some Grizzled War veteran. It was like a clinic, wooden walls, plants everywhere, green scene outside, and he must have been some Grizzled War veterans, and I'll give him something to remember me by. So, and also in Switzerland, they legalized it in 1941 or 42, when they hadn't known at the time that what the Nazis were doing in Nazi Germany,
right,
of killing people by, you know, genocide, which is a crime dreamt of, that's invented after they'd find out what they were doing, those poor concentration camps to those poor people. Now, the speed limits, I could go on a bit further about that.
Okay.
Speed limits, it's a privilege to drive, and you should, it's quite easy, if you're a decent driver, to glance down at your speedometer and keep a note of your driving and your speed. And also, people are too bunched up, too close to each other. They just do not leave a big enough gap. You know, there's that possible saying. Probably good say, right? Only a fuel breaks a 2 second rule between the car in front and your car. So if you're driving along, pass a lamppost, start counting one Mississippi, two Mississippi. You know, any less than 2 seconds, you're too close to them.
So would you for this 20 mile per hour limit, Sammy?
Around schools and built up areas, probably, possibly in our road, because we've had a number of cats killed. I'm not a fan of cats, but it's not their fault, the cats. And I'm against any injuries to anyone, so I'm kind of in favour. Around schools and colleges and hospitals, certainly. But people need to be more responsible, I think, because, you know, even in the wet, it's a 4-second gap, and then in the snow and ice, it's a 10-second gap. But if you just walk along any road, whether it's, you know, in the morning or the evening, when people are going to work or from work, and count the distances in seconds between cars, you'd be surprised.
Right.
Loads and loads and loads of them are bunched up way too close to the other.
Okay.
So a little kid rushes out and falls over, and the street or a cyclist falls over. Then the first car stops, then it's just going to be a continuity of womp, womp, womp.
Yeah, okay.
And also, not everyone's tech-enabled. You know, not everyone. We've got the phone, yes, we've got letters, yes. I'm quite tech-savvy. Not many elderly people are. They're in a wilderness. The internet is a vast world instead of waste on criminality, porn, and piracy to some of these people. You know, it's like Dan Brown said in Digital Fortress.
Okay.
He's a professor of writing, by the way. So.
All right. Sammy, it's good to hear from you. Thanks for being with
Thank
us
you.
Today.
Thank you.
Good to hear from you. I've just driven to Ramsey, said Daphne, from Ballajora, and home listening to you on the radio. I want to mention the manners of the drivers non-existent. I let drivers into the line of traffic on three occasions. Not one of them acknowledged my kindness and waved thank you. Very sad. Daphne. So if you're driving today, be kind. Acknowledge other drivers' kindness, would you? Tell them Daphne sent you. That's it, back with another open line. Thanks to Chris on the phones. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. Weather's going to get better, apparently. WINT.